You'll definitely feel like you've survived one heck of a roller coaster of a plane ride after you've seen the new film called Flight. But that trip is actually just the beginning of the real drama that director Robert Zemeckis and screenwriter John Gatens have pulled off, thanks to an amazing performance by Denzel Washington, supported by the likes of Don Cheadle, John Goodman, Kelly Reilly, and Bruce Greenwood. This marks Oscar winner Robert Zemeckis' return to live-action drama, and the first time he's worked with screenwriter John Gatens. I'm very delighted to welcome both of them to our show.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Yes.
Now, Flight really does take off where a lot of other films would have ended. It's not something most Hollywood films would do. Why open the film with such a powerful, action-packed scene? Or sequence, anyway. John, you wrote it that way, I'm assuming.
I did. We've been on a lot of panels and showing the movie to people and talking to them, and what's been interesting is, you know, Bob, I don't know if you remember when Denzel got asked the question, you know, what do you think about making this guy a pilot, this guy with this, you know, really intense addiction in the middle of his life? And Denzel said, well, Gatens did a really interesting thing in making him a pilot. It was a really dramatic choice. He said if he'd worked at the post office, it wouldn't have been as dramatic. And then Goodman chimed in. He was like, yeah, you wouldn't get your mail.
Yeah, you know, it was, conventional wisdom, I guess, says that you have to save all the action for the end of the movie.
Right.
That's not what this movie was about. I mean, that was what kicked off the drama. Mm-hmm. And, the real harrowing part of the movie comes from character, and that does happen toward the end of the film.
Which is very different than if you were telling the Sully Sullenberger story, where you would have ended with the landing the plane in the middle of the Hudson River,
right.
And that would have been the great moment. But this really is about overcoming something perhaps even more powerful than this very dangerous plane flight that he has to pilot.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, what happens is that the heroic moment as perceived by the world is what starts to precipitate his unraveling. So, his character, I can't even imagine what would have happened to this guy if nothing had happened on that plane. I mean, you know,
he would have just kept going that way.
Just kept going, yeah.
But you do have to think about pacing when you're putting something like this together, because you don't want the audience to get all excited and then just kind of sit back and not remain engaged.
Yeah, that was a risk, certainly. But it's a tribute to both the screenplay and to the cast that the film, in my opinion, continues to just get more and more involved and engaging.
And Denzel Washington plays Whip Whitaker, a captain on a commercial airliner, who starts out on what should be a routine flight from Orlando, Florida, to Atlanta, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Is he the kind of person you'd expect to be a hero? Would he have been thought of by his peers as a good pilot?
You mean prior to the day that
yeah.
we meet him on? I think so. I mean, because I've been asked the question, and Bob and I have talked about this, whether we think that, you know, his impaired state did anything, you know, along the lines of making him do this maneuver because he was thinking loosely, because he was intoxicated. And I've always thought he's just the most talented pilot there is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I always kind of envisioned him in my mind.
And to some degree, that encourages the audience to root for him even when he's acting
right.
very, very poorly, because we realize what he did was quite extraordinary.
Yeah, he's really good at his job, and his job, we actually put our lives in the hands of people who have certain jobs, like being pilots.
And his problems actually come to a head when he begins to be treated like a celebrity.
Right.
Because then people are looking at him.
Right.
This is a guy who is always acting. So now he has to act like a hero, and this is not a role he's prepared for.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's a, you know, once, you know, he's the one who knows the truth about himself, and of course that makes his life more difficult to. He makes it, you know, he has to then live with that, with the dishonesty, and that makes his life more difficult.
John, what got you thinking about this story?
I'm a scared flyer, and I also think like there's a control. Like, I love cars, but if the three of us were in a car right now, I'd be driving. Like, I like to drive, and I like to kind of be in control. And the idea of getting on an airplane, you kind of cede your control to whoever's behind those doors. That's who's flying that plane. And that to me was always kind of this interesting thing, because the physics of it, you know, the idea of like I'm going to get in this 50-ton piece of metal and go 600 miles an hour, 6 miles above the earth, is a scary thing when you think about it that way. And
well, what came first for you, the crash or Whip's Demons?
It was kind of, you know, I went through a period where I was really kind of scared to fly. I mean, I read a stat that said a third of people have an acute fear of flying. And I'd say I'm probably out of that range of those people now, but not probably by much. But that's what gives those – that energy on an airplane is always kind of interesting when you get on an airplane. If you feel that people are kind of uncomfortable.
And then you wind up with a director who actually knows
is a
how
pilot.
To fly a plane.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So was did he send you the script and you think, well, gee, I'm the perfect person for this?
Well, I did think that, but not for those reasons. No, I was very grateful to have such a good screenplay come my way. Let me put it that way. When I read what John wrote in the plane crash sequence, I thought, okay, this has real potential. I mean, there's a couple things that we have to work on here, but this could all really happen. And, you know, but then, obviously the rest of the screenplay is what, you know, really attracted me to the – I wouldn't have done the movie with a plane crash in it had the character of Whip not be so compelling.
Well, you've already done a film with a midair catastrophe, Castaway.
Right, exactly.
Did you use similar techniques in doing
Yeah,
that?
Pretty much. You know, it's, putting the set on a gimbal and having it be on what we call shakers and vibrators and that sort of thing. Did a lot of the same stuff.
But as I said, this marks your return to live-action filmmaking after a dozen years of using motion capture technology. Did you miss live-action filmmaking?
No, not at all. Not at all. I love the digital cinema, and I love the intense ability to work with the actors in performance capture without having to deal with any of the filmmaking technique. You don't have to break scenes up. You don't have to stop and start for coverage and that sort of thing. You can basically do the movie and work with the actors on their performance like you're doing theater. I loved it.
You shot pretty much in sequence here as well, didn't you?
As much as we could. I mean, we always like to try to do that, especially in a character piece, where so that we can understand as best we can and for the cast how their character is evolving. But you can't always do it in exact continuity. There's always something that takes precedence over performance.
Yeah, and I've always wondered about that, how an actor goes from doing this tragic scene that's going to be at the very end of the film to this the next day to I'm now young and perfectly happy. I have no idea that I'm going to have that problem.
Right. Well, that's the art form. That's working in movies, you know, and that's how you have to do it sometimes. Sometimes you have to shoot the end of the movie on the first day, and it's not a pretty thing.
Your films are all so different. It's like you want to reinvent yourself with each one, from Back to the Future and Who Framed Roger Rabbit to Forrest Gump, Castaway, now this. Is that part of the fun, challenging yourself? Or is it just these are the projects that appeal to you at any given moment?
I guess it's both. I mean, you know, I don't I have no interest in – I really, truly have no interest in doing something that I've already done. Mm-hmm. So I guess what I'm looking for, even though in the case of this movie, I did do a plane crash, but that was because the screenplay was so good that, the challenge for me, I guess, was, well, can I do the plane crash that's even more harrowing?
Did anybody warn you? Oh, Bob. Another plane crash.
All my partners and my representatives were saying, oh, Bob, you know, you're going to be known as the plane crash guy, you know, and, And that, you know, and my answer was, well, you know, that would be a silly reason not to do the screenplay because it's so good.
Well, can you see anything that ties all of your films together?
The best I can come up with is characters that arc. You know, I don't know how to make a movie if I don't have a character that I can sort of hang the movie on, and I have to know that this character is going to start at this place and evolve or change and grow to this place. And without that, I really don't know how to mount a movie.
Well, John, when you were writing the script, did you have any actor in mind? Do you ever have any?
You know, usually I do to some extent. And if I'm working on something that's either an assignment or that's a story that people know or it's a piece of material that people know, this was just an idea that I had. So I kind of let the character, who is obviously so big in the movie, tell the story to a certain extent. So I didn't – there was times where I just kind of wrote and didn't really have an outline, and I kind of let the character tell the story, but which is a little bit dangerous, honestly, because real estate on a page in a screenplay is really precious. So to let a screenplay ramble is not always a good idea.
And race is not an issue in this story, so it doesn't really matter whether it's Denzel Washington or another actor who plays Whip. But when you see the film, you feel it couldn't have been anybody but Denzel Washington.
I mean,
he's so perfect in the role.
His performance is incredible.
That's absolutely right.
Was he somebody who came to mind pretty soon after you saw the script?
Well, actually, it was the other way around. When I was given the script, I was told that Denzel had expressed interest in the piece, and so I was sort of reading it, and then I read the script, and knowing that Denzel was interested, so. As I read the script, I realized that he was perfect for it. So that made my life so much easier to know that he was interested, and I could see him in the role as I read it the first time.
John, since you're a reluctant flyer, what did you have to do to research this?
I did a lot. There's a pilot who's a friend of the family's that I know very well, and so I had called him initially to say I want to write a story about an alcoholic commercial airline pilot, and he pointed me towards a couple of crashes, you know, and these NTSB reports are public records. So I started to pore through them, and, you know, I would call him then and say, okay, I don't understand this. Can you explain what this means? And so I was trying to look for some way to dramatize the crash that I wanted to put in the movie. So that was a big part of it. Then obviously when Bob came on, he's a pilot, and we had great technical advisors, obviously, when we were there, who kind of helped to kind of shape the language and all the parlance that, you know, ultimately ended up in the film.
My guests are John Gatens, who wrote the screenplay for the hit film called Flight. Robert Zemeckis is the director, and we will continue our conversation after we take a little break. Stay with us.
Stop believing in all your lies, 'cause there's too much to do before I die. You're feeling all right. I'm not feeling too good myself.
We're back with Robert Zemeckis, director of Flight, and John Gatens, who wrote the original screenplay. The film stars Denzel Washington with Don Cheadle, John Goodman, Kelly Riley, Bruce Greenwood, and a lot of wonderful other actors. And this song is kind of a theme through the film. That's not something you wrote into the script, is it, John?
No, I actually, you know, there was some other music choices I made that I just did as a lark to me because I didn't think you ever get the Rolling Stones that you can really license them. But when you get Robert Zemeckis, you kind of – things happen.
Yeah, the only script – I mean, in the script, the only song that I remember you referenced was
So Gimme Shelter.
Gimme Shelter, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which appears in the film.
Yeah. Yeah, that was sort of like the Harlan Mays theme. Yeah.
Right. But this just seems so right. Is this something directors get involved in? Did you suggest that to the person who's doing the music?
You mean the Feeling All Right song?
Yes.
I do all that. That's part of my filmmaking process is to select all the music.
Mm-hmm. And this just seems so appropriate to the scene where we first hear it.
Yeah. Well, this one I had an idea for this. Very early on when I read the screenplay. So before we even started shooting, I had my producers start to track down the mechanical rights for this one, make sure we had it so I could put it in the film.
Now, I've seen a number of films that involve people in radio, and only one ever got it really right, and that was Play Misty for me. It really was the way things were done in those days. They always get it wrong. You're a pilot, so I assume that you want to make sure that all the little details were right. Do you cringe when you see other movies about pilots flying planes?
Well, if they're done badly, yes. I don't know if I cringe. I kind of feel bad for sort of the filmmaker having been so misguided. But
nobody knows in the audience.
No, I guess. Well, I guess not.
There are 10 pilots saying, "Oh boy, did they screw that?"
I mean, but when I that's one of the things that I love about being a filmmaker is I love. Immersing. I never knew anything about an NTSB hearing until I made this movie, and now I could dine out on everything I know about how NTSB hearings are done. But I think it's the filmmaker's job to immerse themselves and make sure that they have the people there and ask the right questions and make sure that it looks and feels completely right. Although the thing that usually happens is you always have to take dramatic license with something for the story. Mm-hmm. And that's usually what happens. And that's where you kind of deviate from reality.
Did Denzel have to go through any training to make his performance as real as it is?
Well, he did do training. He requested to do training.
Yeah.
He was in a simulator. And the hardest thing for the hardest thing for anyone when you learn how to fly, the hardest thing to do is talk on the radio. Mm-hmm. Because you speak in all this jargon. And I think for an actor, understanding and going through basically ground school and understand what are these words that I'm saying mean. So you can kind of get a feel for what you're saying so that you're not just sort of doing the performance phonetically. And so we had technical advisors. And so when they're yelling about, speed brakes and, flaps at 20%, they know what they're kind of get an idea in their mind of what's happening outside on the aircraft.
Although he has no idea what's happening visually when he's actually shooting that. That's something that all happens later when you edit the film together.
Exactly. So, I mean, so that's the hardest part of any doing an action sequence. I think is always hard on an actor, and especially when you're doing one that involves visual effects, because sort of the actor becomes it kind of like takes a couple steps down on the ladder of importance of where the crew is paying attention. And they have to do the part so broken up in so many little chunks that they don't get a flow of performance. So it's tough on actors. And I think the director's job is to keep their energy up.
And that happens whenever an actor is working in front of a blue screen. But also, you did Who Killed Roger Rabbit? You had actors interacting with animated figures.
Yes. Well, Bob Hoskins famously said to me when I asked him if it was getting him down, he said, no, I'm getting more from this rabbit than I do with a lot of other actors I work with. So.
Tell us about the process when the two of you and Denzel spent time together. Did you rework the script a lot?
I think, Bob has a great process that he goes through where he likes to assemble the cast and he kind of reads the script to the cast. It's not a traditional table read. It's like he literally looks at, the first page and, talks them through kind of on the day, even though we're not on the day. So it's like he can kind of describe to them a little bit what the location looks like. And, it's good for the actors because it gives them an idea of like, oh, I'm going to be sitting in that scene. It's like, oh, we're not. So they can kind of talk about it. So that's really interesting. And then as he's going through that process, the actors can kind of ask questions about like, well, wait, where have I just been? And it helps them to kind of, get oriented in the script.
You do have a reputation for writing more than winds up in the movie sometimes.
Yes.
Did a lot get thrown out during that process?
Well, what's interesting is the screenplay ended up being really long, as you kind of just.
But it's a long film, too.
It is a long film, but the script, and we didn't cut anything. Like the deleted scenes, there won't be any deleted scenes. We cut inside of scenes. When Bob edited, he cut inside scenes. But.
And Bob, you wanted John on the set throughout the shoot?
Mm-hmm. That's correct, yes.
isn't that rare? Usually people think the writing gets in the way.
I'm told it is. Well, you know, I mean, listen, this was such a very, very obviously a piece of material, personal, and close to John, and the character has had so much emotional depth in there. I realized that, you know, I needed to have somebody there who understood the movie, even, you know, to a point that I didn't, so that when you're in the heat of a battle on the set and all of a sudden a question's thrown at you, like, say, from an actor, you know, I wanted to have somebody there really close that I could, you know, make sure wasn't on the firing line with me. You could sit back and say, wait a minute, you know, you might really be messing this up if we tinker with this line. Even though this actor might have good intentions, it may not be good for the ultimate movie. So, yes, I wanted to have John with me, as long-winded way of answering that question.
Were you kind of the expert on the addictive personality part of this whole thing, John?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, especially as it relates to that character, you know, because I lived with him for so long. And it's so big, and yet, you know, Denzel has so many subtle turns inside of it, so it was kind of fascinating.
Well, he's an actor who's playing somebody who is always acting.
Right.
But also one of the things that just comes across so powerfully is how he is able to play various stages of inebriation. We're always aware of just how much he has drunk or
he was very calibrated about it.
It was kind of amazing.
He had a calibrated system, like a numbered system that, I mean,
really?
He didn't share with us, but I know that that was part of like his process, his crib notes that he was working off of. Like, he knew inside of every scene where he was on his own numeric
his level,
scale.
His level of intoxication, that he knew where he was going to be.
He was very specific.
Mm-hmm. So he goes from just kind of having his face look – I don't know how a man makes his face look puffy at certain times, but
– Yeah, he did.
He is kind of amazing. It's the accident is referred to as an act of God, and there is a slight almost religious confessional thing here, even though there's no religion in this film.
Right. Well, there is. There's redemption, and there's obviously, you know, someone said to me years ago that there's no atheists in a foxhole, like that old expression that people use. And I translated that to mean in my life that, you know, there's no atheist in an airplane at 30,000 feet that's pitching all over the place, because it gets real quiet. People get very, very quiet up there in an airplane. And, you know, I just felt like that was another metaphor, like being up in the sky and, you know, feeling like, you know, you have to reach for something to kind of control.
My guests are John Gatens, who wrote the original screenplay for Flight, Robert Zemeckis, who directed it. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. I read, Bob, that this movie was made under budget, in fact, by Hollywood standards, rather modestly, just $30 million.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do that? Did you have a real tight shooting schedule?
Well, that, yeah. Yep. We shot the movie in 45 days. And, you know, and then Denzel and I both had to waive our fees. I mean, obviously, you can't make a, you know, we can't get full fees and make a movie for that amount of money. But that was the responsible way to make the movie. And we all knew it, and we did it, you know, very much as a labor of love.
Was it difficult getting funding for it?
No, I mean, you know, the studio funded it. Paramount Pictures funded it. They wanted to wanted to make the movie, so it was a very, very simple and straightforward conversation, which was, you know, we think that the only responsible way to make this movie is for this amount of money, and if you guys can do it, we're in. And if you can't, we don't want to be, you know, dumb about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's so a lot we of figured pressure out, on you.
What's that? Well, yeah, it is. But, you know, so we did a lot of things. We like made sure. I mean, my only concern was the short shooting schedule with a piece that's got that's so performance heavy. I wanted the actors to have enough time, but the cast was so great and they were so professional that they just were able to do it without there being any problems whatsoever. And we took advantage of going and making the film in Atlanta, where we got a very good rebate from the state and from the state of Georgia. And we did all those things that we had to do to make sure we could do it for the price.
And then you had a cinematographer you've worked with in the past, Don Burgess.
Don Burgess.
Who seems to be able to pull off miracles.
Yeah.
He did Forrest Gump. He did Castaway.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, you really do get the feeling that at times we were talking about how Whip comes across inebriated. He did things with the camera, didn't he?
Yeah, it's sort of it was interesting. Even though when Denzel was talking about his levels of inebriation, Don and I spoke earlier during pre-production about how the camera should have kind of a moving, floating feel depending on how inebriated Whip was. Our scale wasn't as elaborate as Denzel's, but for example, the camera was always very still when he was completely sober, and then it would start to float a little bit as he became sort of buzzed, and then...
And the audience isn't really aware that that's happening, but they do get a sense of that we're seeing somebody who's drunk. We think it's all the acting.
Yeah.
You also have... You figured out how to shoot people in a plane that's flying upside down. You obviously turn them upside down.
Oh yeah, we did.
You did?
We realized that we weren't going to be able to fake that because you've seen movies where they moose the actor's hair up and mm-hmm. then turn the camera upside down and they try to act like they're. It doesn't really work. So what we did is it's one place where we did spend money, which was to. Build a rig we call a gimbal that would turn the set upside down and so that the actors would actually be they weren't actors, they were stunt people, but they would be hanging from their seatbelts.
Or falling out of their seats in a couple of cases.
Yeah.
The other actors, Don, when you hire actors like this, you can be pretty sure you don't have to worry too much about performances. Don Cheadle plays the lawyer who represents Whip. John Goodman plays Whip's enabler. I don't know how else to say it. And Kelly Riley as Nicole, who is a fellow addict. You'd never know she was British. Yeah. Although she's been in... wasn't she in Sherlock Holmes with Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law?
Yep.
Who decided on the casting? Is that just something that came along? The casting director said, I think Don Cheadle will be perfect for the lawyer?
Oh, no. That takes long hours of conversation. And certainly when you have an actor of Denzel's caliber, he weighs in as well. And, it all starts with the screenplay, though. I mean, you go down, you say, okay, who is perfect for this part? Who do you see as this? And, of course, and then when you have an actor like Denzel in the lead, you also have to make sure that they're going to be able to hold the screen with him, so they have to have their own sense of that real sort of gravitas.
Otherwise, he's just going to overwhelm
them. Overwhelm them. So we go through that process. But in the case of Kelly Riley, for example, obviously I wasn't looking for an English actor at the beginning, and she put herself on tape and auditioned, and my casting director showed me the performance, and it was magnificent. So we brought her in, and she was great.
John, you also have tried your hand at directing?
I have.
You did a film called Dreamer, starring mm-hmm. Dakota Fanning and Kurt Russell. And didn't you appear in a film that you wrote the script for, Real Steel?
Real Steel. I played Kingpin, the Mohawk-wearing sociopath.
So do you think of yourself as an actor, writer, director now?
I don't know.
Producer.
I've been in the biz for 22 years, and I've done a little bit of all of it, I guess, Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know.
And you're a native New Yorker, son of a cop?
I am. Mm-hmm. I am that.
So, Bob, where do you go from here? Back to live action, or?
I
want animation again. Mm-hmm.
You what?
I want Jessica Rabbit to come back.
Oh, yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, I don't have any. I've always been one of those filmmakers who does not follow the conventional wisdom of Hollywood and make sure that they already have their next project set before the one they're working on comes out. I've always just taken a breath afterwards and looked around and tried not to react to what I just did.
Mm-hmm. And John?
Well, I'm producing a movie.
Oh, you are producing.
I am. No, that was sad. Bob was being,
later editing and writing the music.
a movie called Need for Speed that I'm making for Steven Spielberg at DreamWorks and Disney. And Aaron Paul, the young actor who's in Breaking Bad, is going to play the lead, and Imogen Poots and Dominic Cooper. We've got a great cast we're putting together. And it's exciting because it's a new kind of job for me.
My thanks to both of you. John Gatens, who wrote the original screenplay for Flight, now in theaters all around town. Robert Zemeckis directed. And, of course, Denzel Washington, Don Cheadle, John Goodman, Kelly Riley, Bruce Greenwood, and many other wonderful actors in the cast. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.